Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
This is the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him,
"Sir, we wish to see Jesus."
So Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them,
"The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name."
Then a voice from heaven,
"I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again."
And the crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." But Jesus answered,
"This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself."
He said this to indicate the kind of death that he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. So if you're familiar with the general chronology of the Bible reading, especially the Gospel story, you'd understand that today's gospel reading is kind of jumping the gun in terms of chronology leading up to Holy Week. You see, next week, and the weather's looking good for this, so next week we're going to gather outside, and we'll have our palms, and we'll process as we recall Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem before his betrayal, his sham trial, and execution. But you see, the thing about today's reading is that today's reading falls after Jesus' triumphal entry and before his betrayal. This is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday period of Holy Week. And so today, as we look at this reading, it's helpful to remember where we're situated in the gospel. And it's also important to know that in John's gospel, this is the final public discourse. That is, these are the last things that Jesus is going to say to people who are not his disciples. And you see, the content of this discourse, this conversation with those gathered around, and arguably the entire Gospel of John, it is all summarized by a short, one-sentence metaphor. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Now, if you know what I majored in undergrad, you would know that I was a biology major. And I have to say that the biology class that I hated the most was botany. So what I do remember from the class, though, is that a seed, right, as we're talking about this seed that falls into the ground and dies, the seed has a few components. There is kind of the essence of the seed, which is the embryo that eventually will develop into new plant. Then there's sometimes, but not always, the endosperm. Does anybody remember? Go all the way back to high school. Anybody remember what endosperm does? Great, I can just like make up lies left and right and nobody will know the difference. But this is what I remember from biology, and I confirmed it, because you know Google knows all. The endosperm, this is the part of the seed that has food for reserve, like food reserves for growth, right? And then covering all of that, the endosperm and also the embryo, we have the seed coat, which is often where we get the name seed from. So what you probably know from playing around outside or biology class, botany class, is that when a seed finally finds a good niche, and a good niche being one that is exposed to enough moisture and warmth, well, then at that point, that's when the germination can begin. This is the moment when that seed coat breaks open and that dead exterior coat is shed and tossed away. And from there, then, of course, the roots usually grow which direction? Down. I'm just trying to see if, like, people are with me here today. We didn't get endosperm, I get that one, but roots usually grow down. And then from there, the shoot kind of grows which direction? Up, there we go. Everyone's back with me here. Towards the light. And so if I explained it all well enough, my botany teacher back in the Quad Cities should be very happy with me. Now, even if I didn't get that biological process just right, it doesn't really matter for what Jesus is getting at today. You see, the essence of what Jesus mentions today is that the seed's existence as a seed, as we know it, comes to an end at that moment that new life bursts forth. And as the plant grows, it's going to produce more fruit. It's going to produce more seeds. It is going to have an abundance in its existence. It becomes, in that moment, when the seed dies and the plant becomes to be alive, it is full of life. So, you see, that is, when we think about it, that is, in a seed coat, the mystery of our faith. You see, at the core of our faith is the truth that in death, there is life. In ending, there is beginning. And that God will always go to unexpected lengths to reveal the love and justice and peace that is at the essence of God's existence. Now, putting botany aside for a moment, theologically speaking, John is also doing something with us with this metaphor, this one sentence. You see, in this single sentence, Jesus foreshadowed his death and his resurrection. And it theologically illuminates how Jesus, indeed God, saw the resurrection. It lets us into the mindset, if we believe that God has a mind, it lets us into this mindset of how God is understanding death and resurrection. You see, Jesus' statement emphasized that this soon-to-be gruesome crucifixion was more about God's grace than it was about humanity's failure. Let me say that again. This act, how God sees Jesus' statement and this soon-to-be gruesome crucifixion was more about God's grace than about humanity's failure. Let me say it one more time. The crucifixion that we are going to be entering in over this next week is more about God's grace than it is about humanity's failure. You see, as Reverend Mark Davis puts it, Jesus dies not to appease God's anger over human sinfulness, but because a death like his can be the means for bearing much fruit. And you see, this theological truth is revealed throughout the scriptures. It's not just in this one little sentence, but time and again, we see the acts of loving generosity are the hallmark of Jesus' followers. We see that Jesus' life was centered on revealing God's nature as rooted in self-giving love, we come to understand that God became a servant to love and to liberate a selfish people, but that it wasn't about how horrible we were, but it was about how good God is. That is the essence of our Holy Week just ahead of us. You see, when Jesus spoke about losing one's life, he was saying that the individualism is not the way of Christ. Rather, following in Christ's footsteps is being like a seed that opens oneself up to live a life in community, to seek abundance, to share gifts with others. You see, the way of Christ is to strive to act for community and not for itself. That is the death, dying to self and rising in Christ, rising in community. You see, the way of Christ is bringing about, bringing God the glory. Or to put it another less kind of Christian, biblical way, the way of Christ is about putting the vision of God's love and loving your neighbor and loving yourself first. For it is the balance of the love of self and the love of other. That is what it means to bear fruit. Does that make sense? Got two head shakes. I can go back. I can just like turn the page back. We can do it again. But why I'm emphasizing this so much, now I'm going off scripts. This is usually where I get in trouble. There are a lot of preachers out there who are going to tell you that what Christianity is all about is how bad we are and how we've got to do better. The reality is, especially in John's gospel, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's about God and what God has already done for us. And there will be plenty of false prophets out there who are telling you the exact opposite. And the reality is, it's not in the scriptures. The essence of what it means for us as Christians, as people of faith, is that it is all about God's action. For if we're concerned about our action all the time, we're worshiping ourselves. That is called idolatry, and that is not what it's about. Instead, this is about what God does. This is about centering it in God and not us. And that is why this simple one-sentence metaphor matters so much. And because, you know, what I do is I read scripture and then I get a chance to, like, wait around during the week and see, like, how these metaphors and how these images and how God's Spirit is moving among my life and also our collective life. Well, I got to thinking this week about this story and how it's relating to our life and faith here. As you already know, you know, we are in the middle of our Place for All campaign. And during this Lenten Easter sermon series, which we entitled A Place, do you get how that connects? A Place for All, and then we said the sermon series is a place. Lovely. Well, we're exploring how these texts are kind of calling us to make a place for something, a place for blank, and then reflect on how we at Wicker Park Lutheran Church are either striving to follow Christ's example or how we might better follow Christ's example. And so today's gospel, when we really look at it, is calling us to imagine a place of giving, to imagine how God's gift of reconciliation and love can be emulated by what we do here, not because we have to, but because we have an opportunity to respond to that grace and that love. And we do that response, not in such a way that we're worshiping ourselves and saying, oh, look at how good I am for giving a sacrificial gift, but rather because we are responding to the love of God. We are striving to follow in Christ's footsteps and to point to the glory of God. And so it was kind of fortuitous that earlier this week, I saw this image of a seed being broken open to reveal abundant life during our weekly meeting with the architect. I didn't think I'd see this here. You see, this last week, we finally got preliminary sketches from our structural engineer. And part of what these new sketches we're looking at is the new support structures that we're going to need to create that hole in the fellowship hall to put in the elevator. They talked about the steel bracing for the existing wall. They talked about new footers. They emphasized the large opening that we were making in the floor. And as they were talking about this on Friday, I couldn't help but think of this image of the seed being broken open. I mean, for 118 years, those floors in our fellowship hall have stood strong and in place. And then when the conditions in our community and world were made just right, you see, when the congregation had built up just enough energy to do the project, when the timing of the pandemic finally seemed to subside, when the financial warmth began to grow and to nurture it, and the best possible location was found, well, there the seed of this lift, this elevator, was prepared to burst open and bring about a birth of new life. And it's a new life, to be honest, that doesn't matter really that much to any of us here, right? We all got in those steps just fine today. We walked up it, we're in it, we're in here. It's not about us, but it's about those who are outside our walls, those who are watching on live stream every single Sunday. We are saying, we see you. We see you, and we want you to be here with us in community. And so, as we think about those who are not here, but rather about this seed that we've planted bursting open, not for our own glory, but for the glory of God, revealing God's never-ending love and welcome, and yes, will this new birth, this new life, this new thing that we're finally doing after 145 years at this corner, will it be different for us? Will the fellowship hall look different? It will. And will the elevator be used for other things, like strollers or like kitchen carts filled with treats and goodies? God, I hope so. You betcha. But what we want to acknowledge is that the seed that is at the cusp of birthing forth and bursting open, it is one that we are cultivating together as a community. We are cultivating it as a part of God's desire to create a place of giving, indeed a place given for all. And that's why as we continue on into today's service and we move on in the days ahead, the weeks ahead, into Holy Week and beyond, we are reminded of what we are rooted in. Today, as we welcome 10 new members, we welcome them into a place of giving, not one that is self-focused and self-centered, but one that is about sharing and welcoming and envisioning God's love shared for all. And so God, in this moment, in this scripture today, is calling us to create places that welcome, to create places that build community, and to create places that share God's love. So in our journey during this Lent and Easter cycle, I have a prayer as I conclude today. I pray that we remember our God's love for us without exception. I pray that we begin to envision how we might be able to partner with God by giving of ourselves, by giving of our church, by giving of our space. I pray that we might know that we have a God who stops at nothing to tear open the containers that hold us back, all for the sake of love.